So we're now joined by the president of the Athletic Union, Emily Griffiths. Hello, Emily.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
And thank you for coming onto the programme. It's good to see you here. So how have you found your first month in the job?
It's been incredibly exciting, actually. Very busy. There's not enough hours in the day. I think you'd probably have another 5 days a week to get everything done. But it's been fantastic. A lot going on in Saint Sport at the moment, so it's a very exciting time for us.
And so what has surprised you most so far about the job that you weren't expecting?
The biggest challenge so far, I suppose, just is the prioritisation of tasks. There's so many things to do, so many people who want to chat to you, get involved in different bits and pieces, and it's just prioritising things, I guess, really, and making sure, you know, you're getting things done for the right time. So we had pre-season and that, you know, took quite a lot of effort to get off the ground and everything, and that's at the beginning of the year, so it's just allocating your time in the best way.
How successful do you feel the season's been so far then?
Well, it's been great, actually. Last week, we were top of the Bucks tables, which was a bit of a surprise.
Does that mean that we're not this week?
Then? We were. Well, what happened was we had a fantastic first week, won quite a lot of our matches. So we did best in Scotland. And because obviously Scotland comes back first, a lot of the English universities hadn't actually started their league matches yet. So we were, top of the league. So we sent that round to the university and the principal, and they were all loving that. So best sporting university in the UK for a week. But yeah, that won't last very long.
So you don't
long.
Have ambitions for that to and continue?
That's not that's not one of my policies.
Oh, okay, that's a pity. That would have been a nice position to be in.
But yeah.
So in an interview with us in March, when you were trying to get elected before you were successful, you said about how you would like to be accessible for all clubs. How many sports clubs have you been to so far this semester?
So I'm a member of three of the sports clubs, so I'm kind of obviously very actively involved with those. Apart from that, I mean, I've been around and about the place. I think most of the different sports clubs have had access to me, and I've, you know, we're trying to be very kind of open up at the AU. The door's always open, you know, we're kind of very, you know, engaging with a lot of them. So I'd say I've been involved with a lot. I can't give you a number.
But you've not actually been to a lot of their sessions.
I've been to, you know, tennis, hockey, been, you know, around and about the place, but I haven't been to all of them, no.
Okay. How do you best think you're going to keep in communication with, because there's over 60 different clubs, so I guess the needs of tennis is going to be very different from the needs of canoe club, for instance. They're going to want different things. So how do you propose to try and work out what that is on the basis that you physically can't go to 60 clubs every week?
I guess there a lot of what happens is you've obviously got all your committees. So we have kind of the names and of the captains who I tend to try and liaise with those most, and they pass things on down through to their committees. So any of their kind of individual needs, they all just email me, you know, those, and I kind of communicate back and forth with them generally by email. But, you know, meetings are set up with various clubs. For whatever it may be, we've had, you know, different individual clubs come in this week, and they, you know, if they've got initiatives they want to get off the ground, we support them with that. We're just generally there to help them as and when. But initially, it normally happens through an email contact, and then that's when we go, you know, we progress things.
So when you're getting this communication from the captains of the various clubs, what are the positives and negatives they're giving you of the AU?
So far, there haven't really been any negatives. The only kind of tricky thing, I guess, from my end is, you know, coordinating some of the clothing arrangements. But that's just because, obviously, we're using an outside supplier. But that's not really a negative of Saint Sport at all. There's positives, a lot of great things going on at the moment. I'll just give you a couple of examples. The Netball Club raised over £2,000 for a racing wheelchair for a little boy called Callum, and he's 8. So that was fantastic. You know, all outreach work. So loads of great things like that going on. And they presented that to him last week, I think it was. So it was huge positive. The volleyball girls are, at the moment, I'm not sure if you're aware, but we already have very close links with Project Zambia, which is a big volunteering project, which we send 5 students to every year. So tomorrow they'll be, we're having the interview process for that and selecting them. So that's all go. But alongside that, one of the girls, Brittany, she went out to Zambia a couple of years ago and really noticed that volleyball was lacking. And so what we're doing, what the volleyball girls are doing, is they're sending 5 or 6 of their first team out to Zambia this summer. So they're just starting that all off, and they're going to be doing their own project and going around different schools and teaching them volleyball. So that's really, really positive. And that's just, we're just in the process of setting that all up now. The girls, they just told me they're wanting a letter of support for tonight. They went round, did a bucket shape round the pubs last night and got £250. So they are kind of all go, and that's, so there's a lot of exciting and promising things. And it's great to, it's great to have all these clubs coming to you, you know, wanting this additional support, but they're really kind of go-getting and doing things for themselves. So very positive, I'd say, on the whole.
That's good. In an interview with The Stand as well, you said that you were going to consider the various different ways that you could communicate with students, and you would consider what was best. And one of the options you were looking at was a Facebook page. So having been in the job for a month, what do you feel is the best way to communicate with students?
I wasn't aware that I had said that, but that, yeah, I mean, it's very tricky. We've just started, what I was going to say first of all, it's very tricky to obviously always keep up, you know, complete communication or having a blog or whatever else, just because it's a, you know, you've got a limited amount of time, and actually getting the job done is tricky. One thing that we have done though, which we've all started, and I'm now sending out a monthly email to all students, just because, you know, then they've got some interaction with sports. So all big events or, you know, anything huge, we're going to obviously put through that email. But on top of that, we've now got a Saints Sport monthly newsletter, which was also attached to that email, which gives kind of the big news stories for that month, which is going to go out, which is, yeah, being sent straight to all students, and also going around the university staff and alumni. So we're really trying to communicate on that front as well. Good news stories of both the athletic union and also its clubs.
Okay. So far, you were saying you've not really received any negatives from the captains of the clubs. Speaking to members of the athletic union, the negatives they give to me tend to be about the facilities.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're aware of that from before you got the job. So there's a redevelopment going on at the moment. Could you maybe outline to us quite where we are in that?
Yeah. So if you've been down to the sports centre, you'll see that there's quite a lot of construction work going on at the moment. That's because we've got a new 3G pitch being made, well, being surfaced and made, whatever, at the moment. And that is... work started on that over the summer, and that's due to be finished, I think it's the 9th of November, but definitely early, mid-November, we'll have that up and running, which is going to be fantastic, because that's, we're going to have, they're changing all the lightings for that at the moment, because one of the reasons that we have problems with training is because the current floodlights, which are up, affect the observatory. So these new lights and the new artificial pitch means that rugby, football, lacrosse, you know, quite a number of sports are going to be able to train on there during the evenings. During the winter, it's going to be, you know, a huge bonus to the students. So we're really looking forward to that getting up and running. And yeah, should be with us in just over a month. So okay. That's exciting. But that's obviously, I know what you're going to ask
where
next.
Where we're going next, yeah.
Right. So we have secured funding for the Sports Centre redevelopment. That is, so the 3G pitch is happening this year, and then hopefully we're hoping that next year is when the actual sports centre will start to get developed. That is basically, we're not, you know, as far as sports concerned, we're all ready to go. The plans are down, but it is just a case of the university funding and the cycles that it comes in as to when the actual kind of development can happen. But it is all go.
And do the plans for the sports centre include a swimming pool at the moment? Because that's been another big concern.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
There is hope, and there's been a space allocated to have the swimming pool. The problem is that will only come if we get funding for it. We've got somebody in the States who is designated to fundraising for sport, with the pool being the main focus. But obviously... we've got this huge redevelopment already taking place. And so that
so are we just
going to
have a hole where the are we just going to have a hole in the new building where the swimming pool goes in eventually?
I mean, what I meant is there's space. So the plans are there and they'll put the sports centre in. What I'm saying is there's physical space in terms of ground. So it's not like, so, you know, next door they can attach it, or, you know, it can be over where the sports centre is. There is a space there for it. But obviously, no, we're not building an empty room for it. But if we get the funding, a pool will be made. But, it's all kind of dependent on that. You don't seem very confident about that at the moment. Well, I'm not. It's more that I don't want to make any promises to say that, you know, we are really trying for funding for it and we're really pushing for it. But obviously we're looking at kind of £7-8 million. So it's, you know, it's not far off the cost of having the whole sports centre redeveloped for however many different sports. And it's also not, you know, far off the union redevelopment. So you are looking at a huge project and a huge financial sum. And we definitely want it and we're definitely pushing for it. I just can't, you know, promise you that we're going to get it within the next year.
Do you think that if the sports centre gets built and then you say, well, there's a space for that later on, do you think that will ever happen, or the university will say, once it's that, you know, we've coped without it, just it's not there now, it's redeveloped, so that's the end of the story?
It's something that the university is very aware that students want, and hopefully it will be tackled. There are people, you know, throughout the university pushing for it, not least to say the swimming and the water polo teams, but, you know, as it is, they're getting a lot of additional support. They go to normally they train at St. Leonard's and at East Sands, and water polo have got a director of water polo, so at least they really do want a pool, but they have got additional support and whatever else, which is hopefully really helping those who do need it. Talking to one boy yesterday, Miles, who's a scholar, and he's going down, he's at a level where he's very competitive, and he's going down to Edinburgh to train in their Commonwealth pool, you know, a couple of times every week. So it's tricky and the demands are, you know, high on our students. But for those who do really want, you know, to get somewhere and support, that, you know, we are trying to help them.
OK, one of the more immediate things that you also said to The Stand in this interview from the campaign period was that you would like to change the gym experience, that there were complaints about that. What's changed about the gym experience so far since you've been in charge?
It's quite funny, actually, because you say things when you're doing your you're running for things, and you I suppose at the time you're not fully aware of what your exact responsibilities will be and what comes under you. So actually, gym stuff is Ian Gaunt. To be honest, yeah, I have very little responsibility in that area, and I can go on to talk about other things that I've been doing. But I think, the gym, just to give you a bit of insight, the gym is manned and run as efficiently and as effectively as it can be at the moment until, you know, we get any more, until the redevelopment happens, I guess. So the fitness classes, there's more fitness classes and they're better attended than ever before. So I think those are really, really popular. We've got things now like Michael's boot camp and loads of Zumba classes happening. So I think, basically our staff are doing everything that they can with the resources that they've got at the moment in order to try and make the gym experience as good as it can be. And it is being extended when the redevelopment happens. So that will make it, there was a number of how many stations there'll be, but it's going to be quite, you know, significantly bigger and better. So that's exciting, but as good as it can be for now.
That was quite an interesting point you made, though, about not knowing what your responsibilities were going to be when you ran for election. And I don't know who's responsible for telling you that, but that should suggest that something's missing in the process.
I don't think... I think that's not entirely what I mean. What I meant is you do campaign on things and then you get into position and you realise what you do have control over and what you don't. And
is
you,
that
you
not have, just lying in the campaign then?
No, not at all. I think, you know, it's tricky, and I think you'll find that every year people will, you know, they will campaign on, I don't know, bits and pieces, which, you know, they get into power and they realise that they can do something here, they can't do something there. And I think that's just a bit of, you know, yeah, I don't know, it's just a tricky thing to knowing exactly what the role entails. I think, you know, I'll sit down with those who run for my position and tell them what I do, but obviously within an hour, they're not going to, you know, they'll have had contact with me throughout the year, but they're not going to have full, kind of understanding of what it is that they will, you know, that they will be doing. So it's, you know, it's tricky here and there, but yeah, no, I think that's kind of understandable.
You're still saying the basic premise that it's understandable that people don't quite know the role they're letting themselves in for, and so they're making promises that people are electing them on that aren't necessarily accurate because they don't know if they can deliver them or not.
Yeah, it's slightly true, but I mean, I think the bigger picture and the bigger understanding is there. But it's just, you know, little bits and pieces here and there. Making the gym experience, you said that, I don't really think that wasn't one of my main campaign points. I might have mentioned that at some stage, but that wasn't what I was running on. I don't think that's a real problem, to be honest.
Okay. One of the other things that you mentioned in one of your interviews was about club sponsorship and about how you would like to get sponsorship for the whole AU, but you'd seen in the past this wasn't really possible. And so you were going to look at trying to get sponsorship for individual clubs.
Right. So what has happened was last year, Andrew Hall, who was the Athletic Union president then, he had gone about trying to get a global sponsor for sport, well, for Saints Sport. Now, the thing was that it wasn't very successful. We've had experience of knowing that. And also, if I was to do that, I can talk to some companies now. We have decided not to do this, by the way. But, you know, that's not going to come into place until next year anyway, because the smaller clubs have already got their contracts signed. So for, you know, hockey, golf, snow sports, rugby, a few of them, they're sponsored by PwC, Accenture, Deloitte. You know, their kind of sponsorship packages have already started. So, you know, you'd have to be a year or two down the line then anyway. And experience and kind of contact with some of these companies so far, the money's just not there at the moment to giving us a £25,000-£50,000 overall sponsorship.
So how many clubs currently have sponsorship?
Well, there are five which have got those sponsors which I just told you about, in terms of corporate sponsorships. But on top of that, then, for example, Rascals is a huge sponsor of some of our sports clubs and our Sunday league, football leagues and everything such as that, 6-a-side and 11-a-side. And a lot of the bars, golf hotel and, you know, around town are kind of heavily involved on the social sponsorship side. Most of them have got sponsorship of some kind or another. It depends. We've got, you know, 60 sports clubs. It depends, you know, as to each club as to what exactly they've done. But they are kind of encouraged and actively, informed that would, you know, obviously benefit their club.
How many clubs are financially struggling at the moment just to make ends meet?
I don't think anyone at the moment is in too much of a problem. There is a couple of clubs who are, you know, who've had problems in the last couple of years who we are supporting and sitting down with and putting financial kind of targets in place for them to, you know, get them going. But a lot of their funds, you know, in terms of their transport, if they're, you know, competitive sports, their transport, they're actually non-competitive as well, because, you know, diving and whatever else gets supported for transport. So yeah, they get a transport fund, they get money for entries, they get all these, you know, for competitive teams, they get their kit paid for normally, lots of different bits and pieces they get support from the AU. So their general operating kind of procedures are, you know, kind of covered on the whole, or their membership covers it. So, you know, we do support them through that way.
Okay. And so looking now at your whole year, what are your main hopes? What are the things that you want to be able to say if I interview you again, as I hope to do so at the end of the year, that, look, this is what I've achieved. These are, you know, what now will you say are your main pillars?
One of the big things which I'm hoping to do alongside our alumni officer, because I've got an exec, 6 other students who sit on the exec with me and a couple of members of staff, but is really trying to get the alumni bit off the ground. I don't think we interact enough with our alumni. Everyone involved in sport tends to be heavily involved in sport at the university, really does think that that's kind of if I was to, you know, leave university, sport would have been my main kind of connection to the university. And I think a lot of our students are like that. And so it's just continuing that after university. And you know, setting up alumni divisions of clubs or alumni networks, friends of Saints rugby, friends of Saints football, you know, something such as that. That's kind of one of the things I'm looking to work towards at the moment, just because I think there's so many benefits that can come from it. You know, sponsorship, donations, so financial would be, you know, obviously a big help. The rowing club have just, you know, got a couple of boats, you know, through an alumni link. So there's huge, huge potential there. So I'd say, yeah, so sponsorship, just advice and general engagement with our alumni. And I mean, yeah, there's just, you know, job opportunities. There's so much that could come from it in the future. And I really think that's a key area that we could develop. So that's one thing. Publicity is something which we've been working on. I've got a fantastic design and publicity officer called Kirsty, who's been doing a huge amount of work for us. And just really kind of making sport a bit more widely acknowledged in the university, I guess.
So how would you measure success in particular publicity? What sort of number of students involved in the club? That sort
No, I think when I mean publicity, I think I mean getting what we currently do it. An awful lot of good things over at the sports centre, and it's just making, I think, university body and the students aware of what's going on. So yeah, just engaging more with the principal's office, who I've had a lot to do with already, and just kind of really getting sport out there. One of our things is that we want, you know, we're trying to work on recruitment and getting more sporty students in, and obviously, you know, getting the good, you know, obviously they've got to have the grades, and we, you know, we recognize that and we appreciate that, but you know, trying to, if people have got the grades and have got the academic qualifications, you know, just, you know, seeing if we can get, you know, some, there's been some top athletes which have applied and haven't gone in, and you know, we're just really, you know, hoping to make sport a bigger and a better thing at the university as well.
Okay, so if we move forward 10 years and you look back at your time as AU president, what would you hope to be the Emily Griffiths legacy? What would you hope to look back and say, look, that was me that did that?
Oh, goodness, that's a big question. yeah, the alumni thing would be a great one. Also, it's the 600th. Obviously, it's the last year of the 600th. So we are in the process of getting a lot of 600th sporting events organised. So I think I'll be quite lucky in that I'll be able to, you know, look back and say, well, I organised this event, I organised that event. We had to kickstart our sporting event, our 600th sporting events off, we had a Hickory Golf Day at the Hill of Tarvet course, which is Justin Cooper. And we had everyone dressed up in kind of clothes from, you know, that, I think it was from 100 years ago or so when that opened. And we had the principal hit the opening shot. We had the director of development there. We had, you know, the Quaester, the director of finance. We had a lot of the key university staff there. So that was nice because they had involvement, obviously, with the students at the beginning of our 600th year, beginning of our last 600th year. And that was, you know, and some external participants, you know, from our key stakeholders as well. So I think there'll be a lot of events such as that throughout the year, which I've organised, which will be, you know, very special. And hopefully, you know, some of them are going to be, you know, continuing on for however many years. You know, they're not just one-off events. So hopefully, you know, in 10 years' time, they'll still be going and they'll be bigger and better and stronger. And that's kind of, so the 600th events will be a key one, but that's great. And then also 500th St. Leonard's celebrations as well. We're getting two big events with school children off the ground as well at the moment. So there'll be those to look back on and hopefully remember with happy memories from those.
Okay, Emily Griffiths, thank you very much for speaking to us here on Alexander Jones Live.